Battle lines have been drawn. Both sides stare into the distance, fiery eyes ready to strike down their enemy. Good versus evil. We are thrust into this battle. We were given a destiny in Christ before the foundations of this earth. God gave us a choice at greater glory, a chance to rule and reign in eternity in His millennial kingdom. Some will never reach that promised land. Some will give in to their fleshly desires and sell their eternal souls for power, money, fame, or wisdom. Who will you serve? The Ancient of Days, the Most High God, the Father of Glory? Or will you worship Satan and his demonic horde? We have access to the Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, let's fight back against evil and give our lives to God. Amen. All right, welcome to Psalm 91 Dispatch. I'm your host, Ori Rehm, and I'm excited for today's show. We are talking about the Book of Enoch. We're in part two, where we're starting off in chapter four. I have more information on the Book of Enoch. I've been doing some research, and part of the things that you want to know about the Book of Enoch is that it is not canon, is not part of the Bible, but it's referenced in the Bible. Okay, the Bible does speak about the Book of Enoch. And so Enoch is a biblical figure and patriarch prior to Noah's flood, and the son of Jared and the father of Methuselah. He was of the antediluvian period in the Hebrew Bible. The text of the book of Genesis says Enoch lived 365 years before he was taken by God. The text reads that Enoch walked with God and he was no more, for God took him. This is Genesis 5, 21 to 24, which is interpreted as Enoch entered heaven alive in some Jewish and Christian traditions and interpreted differently in others. So, I mean, this man, him and God were like one. He basically lived a life outside of himself and did the will of God. And as a reward, he didn't have to taste death. That's an incredible, incredible feat when you think about it. But yeah, I'm super excited about this book. It really gives the reader and a believer basically kind of a sense of what's really going on behind the scenes, that, you know, we are not just wrestling with God, you know, we're wrestling with principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We truly are. These are the powers. These are the things that we are warring against. These creatures, these demonic entities, whatever you want to call them, they're thousands of years old. So they know all about humankind. They know all our tricks. They know all our secrets. They know our genetics. They know what our families have done, our fathers, our mothers, our cousins. They know, they almost kind of can predict how we're going to react to every situation. So we truly need God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our life to battle these things, these entities, because they are not just pure wickedness, but they are very intelligent and they want to destroy you. They truly do. But if we have the Lord Jesus, we have nothing to fear. We truly don't have nothing to fear. So let's just do a little quick prayer just to get started, to put some protection around everybody. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful day. And I just ask, Father, that you send two warring angels to every listener and to their family members. And we just ask, Lord, that you financially, physically, mentally, spiritually bless them in all that they do. We pray for a wall of Holy Spirit fire protection around them. We cancel all curses, versus spells, and incantations placed against them in the name of Jesus. And we cancel all witchcraft against people in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, God. We praise you for your word and for the blood that cures all things. You know, before we get into this, I was actually listening to a program about this man, and he was talking about these women who experienced stigmata. And what happened was, some of these women, they were taken back to the crucifixion of Jesus in a vision. And that's why they experienced the stigmata. They were bleeding out of their eyes and bleeding out of their hands. Really graphic, really crazy. But there's a book. I will find the name of the book and I'll leave it on here sometime. I want to get the book because it sounds fascinating. But if you're a woman of God and you're like, you know, God can't use me, don't ever say that. Okay. God uses all his children for mighty, mighty works. Okay. He has mighty, mighty things. I've never heard of anybody experiencing basically the crucifixion of Jesus. That's incredible, I think. But basically, they all have separate accounts. They all didn't know each other. They're all in different time periods. But one of the key things that I took out of that was the depictions that we have of Jesus being crucified on the cross and his torture and when he's being beaten and with the lashes. Like, his skin, his skins and his muscle was being ripped off of his body. Like, you could see his rib cage. You could see the bones. So we don't have a clear depiction of how badly tortured and beaten he was. One of the women even said that one of his shoulder, like the top of his shoulders, like the shoulder where the cross was sitting on, where he was carrying it to the top. That shoulder, I think it was the right one, was completely exposed, where the bone was physically shown. So I don't think we truly have a sense of how badly beaten he was and how much of a victory that was over the enemy. And you have to understand something. If Jesus never did come back and do this, all humanity would have been lost. It would have been completely lost. So it's an amazing gift that God has done for us, that the very creator of heaven came to earth in the flesh, in the form of Jesus, because in the Bible, it does talk about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all being one. We have the Holy Spirit that's living inside us, the very Spirit of God that created all things, okay? We have that Holy Spirit in us. But God in the flesh came to earth and overcame death, hell, and the grave. He's got the keys of the bottomless pit. I mean, what part do you not like of that? That's pretty awesome. And the best part is, no matter how wicked it gets, his power is greater than the power of Satan. Okay? Amen. So let's get into this book. This is chapter 4, Intercession of Angels. So we've already kind of covered chapter 3, the fallen angels. It talks about, you know, the children of men multiplying in those days. And then it talks about how beautiful the daughters were, and the angels noticed, and they came down, they took wives. So this is chapter 4. And then Michael, Uriel, Raphael, and Gabriel looked down from heaven and saw much blood being shed upon the earth, and all lawlessness being wrought upon the earth. And they said one to another, "The earth made without inhabitant cries the voice of their cryings up to the gates of heaven. And now to you, the holy ones of heaven, the souls of men make their suit, saying, Bring our cause before the Most High. And they said to the Lord of the ages, Lord of lords, God of gods, King of kings, and God of the ages, the throne of thy glory standeth unto all the generations of the ages. In thy name, holy and glorious and blessed unto all the ages, thou hast made all things, and power over all things hast thou, and all things are naked and open in thy sight, and thou seest all things, and nothing can hide itself from thee. Thou seest
what Azazel hath done, who hath taught all unrighteousness on earth and revealed the eternal secrets which were in heaven, which men were striving to learn. And Samlazaz, to whom thou hast given authority to bear rule over his associates. And they have gone to the daughters of men upon the earth, and have slept with the women, and have defiled themselves, and revealed to them all kinds of sins. And the women have borne giants, and the whole earth has thereby been filled with blood and unrighteousness. And now behold, the souls of those who have died are crying out, making their suit to the gates of heaven, and their lamentations have ascended and cannot cease because of the lawless deeds which are wrought on the earth. And thou knowest all things before they come to pass, and thou seest these things, and thou dost suffer them, and thou dost not say to us what we are to do to them in regard to these. Then said the Most High, the Holy and Great One spake, and sent Uriel to the son of Lamech, and said to him, Go to Noah, and tell him in my name, Hide thyself, and reveal to him the end that is approaching, that the whole earth will be destroyed, and a deluge is about to come upon the whole earth, and will destroy all that is on it. And now instruct him that he may escape, and his seed may be preserved for all the generations of the world. And again the Lord said to Raphael, Bind Azazel hand and foot, and cast him into the darkness, and make an opening in the desert which is in Dudael, and cast him therein, and place upon him rough and jagged rocks, and cover him with darkness, and let him abide there forever, and cover his face, that he may not see light. And on the day of the great judgment he shall be cast into the fire, and heal the earth which the angels have corrupted, and proclaim the healing of the earth, that they may heal the plague, and that all the children of men may not perish through all the secret things that the watchers have disclosed and have taught their sons. And the whole earth has been corrupted through the works that were taught by Azazel. To him ascribe all sin. And to Gabriel said the Lord, Proceed against the bastards and the reprobates, and against the children of fornication, and destroy the children of the watchers from amongst men. Send them one against the other, that they may destroy each other in battle. For length of days shall they not have, and no request that they make of thee shall be granted unto their fathers on their behalf. For they hope to live an eternal life, and that each one of them will live 500 years. Man, I wish. And the Lord said unto Michael, Go bind Samlazaz and his associates, who have united themselves with women, so as to have defiled themselves with them and all their uncleanness. And when their sons have slain one another, and they have seen the destruction of their beloved ones, bind them fast for 70 generations in the valley of the earth, till the day of their judgment and of their consummation, till the judgment that is forever and ever is consummated. In those days they shall be led off to the abyss of fire, and to the torment and the prison in which they shall be confined forever. And whosoever shall be condemned and destroyed will from thenceforth be bound together with them to the end of all generations, and destroy all the spirits of the reprobate and the children of the watchers, because they have wronged mankind. Destroy all wrong from the face of the earth, and let every evil work come to an end, and let the plant of righteousness and truth appear, and it shall prove a blessing. The works of righteousness and truth shall be planted in truth and joy forevermore. And then shall all the righteous escape, and shall live till they beget thousands of children, and all the days of their youth and their old age shall they complete in peace. And then shall the whole earth be tilled in righteousness, and shall all be planted with trees and be full of blessing. And all desirable trees shall be planted on it, and they shall plant vines on it, and the vine which they plant thereon shall yield wine in abundance. And as for all the seed which is sown thereon, each measure shall bear 1,000, and each measure of olives shall yield 10 presses of oil. And cleanse thou the earth from all oppression, and from all unrighteousness, and from all sin, and from all godlessness, and all the uncleanness that is wrought upon the earth. Destroy from off the earth. And all the children of men shall become righteous, and all nations shall offer adoration, and shall praise me, and all shall worship me. And the earth shall be cleansed from all defilement, and from all sin, and from all punishment, and from all torment. And I will never again send upon it from generation to generation and forever. And in those days I will open the store chambers of blessing which are in the heaven, so as to send them down upon the earth for the work and labor of the children of men. And truth and peace shall be associated together throughout all the days of the world and throughout all the generations of men. Before these things, Enoch was hidden, and no one of the children of men knew where he was hidden, and where he abode, and what he had become of him. And his activities had to do with the watchers, and his days were with the holy ones. And I, Enoch, was blessing the Lord of majesty and the King of the ages. And lo, the watchers called me, Enoch the scribe, and said to me, Enoch, thou scribe of righteousness, go declare to the watchers of the heaven who have left the high heaven, the holy eternal place, and have defiled themselves with women, and have done as the children of earth do, and have taken unto themselves wives. Say to them, ye have wrought great destruction on the earth, and ye shall have no peace nor forgiveness of sin. And inasmuch as they delight themselves in their children, the murder of their beloved ones shall they see, and over the destruction of their children shall they lament. And they shall make supplication unto eternity, but mercy and peace shall ye not attain. And Enoch went and said, Azazel, thou shalt have no peace. A severe sentence has gone forth against thee to put thee in bonds, and thou shalt have no toleration, nor request granted to thee, because of the unrighteousness which thou hast taught, and because of all the works of godlessness and unrighteousness and sin which thou hast shown to men. Then I went and spoke to them all together, and they were all afraid, and fear and trembling seized them. And they besought me to draw up a petition for them, that they might find forgiveness, and to read their petition in the presence of the Lord of heaven. For from thenceforth they could not speak with him, nor lift up their eyes to heaven, for shame of their sins, for which they had been condemned. Then I wrote out their petition and the prayer in regard to their spirits and their deeds individually, and in regard to their requests, that they should have forgiveness and length. And I went off and sat down at the waters of Dan, in the land of Dan, to the south of the west of Hermon. I read their petition till I fell asleep. And behold, a dream came to me, a vision fell down upon me. I saw visions of chastisement, and a voice came bidding me to tell it to the sons of heaven and reprimand them. And when I awaked, I came unto them, and they were all sitting gathered together, weeping in Abel's jail, which is between Lebanon and Senesser, with their faces covered. And I recounted before them all the visions which I had seen in sleep. And I began to speak the words of righteousness and to reprimand heavenly watchers. Wow, that was a fully loaded chapter, boy. Okay, so if we go to the start of this, I just kind of want to go over a few things. There's a few things that jumped out at me that I really want to talk about. So basically, these angels, you know, they committed sins that are just pretty repulsive. They took the secrets of heaven and they taught it to men and women of the earth. Not only that, they left their first estate. They left heaven. And they somehow had babies with these women. Most likely forcefully, but we don't know that. But they did say that, you know, so thou seest what Azazel hath done, who hath taught all unrighteousness on earth and revealed the eternal secrets which were in heaven, which men were striving to learn. Thou hast given authority to bear rule over his associates. So, you know, the daughters of men upon the earth, they slept with the women, defiled themselves, and revealed to them all kinds of sins. And the women have borne giants. So the thing about the giants is kind of interesting, because if you look at the history and just like the newspapers in the 1800s, they were finding bones of giants. And what happened was there was an organization in the United States that would cover all this up. I cannot remember the name of the organization, but it has to do with like history and bones and like sacred objects. They would come in, they would interview the people who found the bones, and then all of a sudden the story just kind of disappears. The bones disappear. I'm trying to remember the name. It starts with an S. But it's an organization that's still around today, and what they do is they go around and they hide these giants' bones, and they've been hiding this stuff from the public, because if the world were to understand that there were actually giants, then they would realize that the Bible is 100% true and that, you know, everything that it says is absolutely true. Now, again, I will say that this book is not canon. This is not meant to be in the Bible. But we can take things out of this book and say, yes, the apostles, they were reading this and they understood what this book was. Okay, they referenced Enoch, basically claiming that, you know, he never died. And the interesting thing is, he lived for 365 years. Okay, so I think that's really, really interesting, because at the start of this book, it talks about who this book is for. If I go back, yeah, okay. So this is the first chapter, first verse. The words of the blessing of Enoch, wherewith he blessed the elect and righteous, who will be living in the days of tribulation when all the wicked and godless are to be removed. Interesting. And now we've had some really interesting things happen in the world lately. We had the eclipse, which I believe was the sign of Jonah, which is a sign to repent. And if we go back to the Bible, it basically, you know, when Jonah had this sign and he warned the city of Nineveh, they had 40 days to repent. So as it stands, America, Canada, Mexico, they have 40 days to repent before God unleashes his judgment upon the earth. Now, I want you to know that if you are a child of the most living God, you have nothing to fear. Okay, that judgment's not for you. It's for those who are unrepentant and living sinful lives. Now, if you're struggling with sin, you know, that's something we need to address for, you know, as our own walks. You know, I struggle with sin as well. I'm not perfect, okay? Very far from it. But I think God, most likely, I mean, I'm pretty sure there's scriptures to back this up. He looks at the condition of your heart. You know, he's looking at the motive, your motive. You know, are you just trying to basically fluff him up and, you know, just basically, you know, say his words, but there's no relationship there? A lot of the people in the Bible were wicked men. I mean, they did horrible things. I mean, David, he killed a man. He killed many men. Okay. But it doesn't give us the right to go around and sin like the devil. But the thing is God looks at your heart. So if you are living a repentant life, if you have conviction over your sin, if you are being convicted by the Holy Spirit, I believe yes, you are a Christian. And, you know, if you have that kind of sense like, oh, I want to do more, I want to, you know, tell more people about God, and you're doing that and you're making efforts to do that, I think that's a really huge thing. One of the biggest stumbling blocks for me was just even saying the name of Jesus at one point. I was afraid to say the name of Jesus in public. And, you know, that name has power, because when people hear that name, they don't want to hear it. A lot of people don't like that name. They're just like, oh my gosh, you're one of them. Absolutely. So if you're being rejected and hated for the gospel, praise God. You're on the right track then. Okay. So there's some other stuff I wanted to look at that I just got to see if I can find it here. Yeah, this is really interesting. So like Azazel, he really taught the children of men and these giants, their offspring, they taught them wicked things. They taught them witchcraft. They taught them how to fight and make swords and battle and all these things. And it says, bind Azazel hand and foot and cast him into the darkness, and make an opening in the desert, which is in Dudael, and cast him therein, and place upon him rough and jagged rocks, and cover him with darkness, and let him abide there forever. So he ain't leaving. He's done for, basically. After this event happened and he was bound there, he's not coming out again. Does that mean he doesn't have any influence on the earth? Probably. I'm pretty sure he has influence on the earth. Okay, when I was involved in the occult, I can remember hearing his name quite often. His name and there's another one that's a main, not Baal, but yeah, these angels, these fallen, they're real. Don't be going messing around with this stuff, because what you can do is you can start inviting this stuff into your life thinking it's harmless, that you can handle it. Trust me when I say this, you can't handle it without Jesus. Okay. Don't be going and reading all these grimoires and this occult literature unless you are led by the Holy Spirit to do, because this is demonic literature and it can have spirits attached to it. And when I was learning about it, I was pretty fallen away at the time. I was learning about sigils, and what they teach you with sigils is they teach you to stare at the sigils, and you stare at that sigil, which each spirit or each demon has a sigil, and it's just basically just a bunch of lines on a paper, but they represent that spirit. So what they get you to do is they get you to focus and kind of like get yourself in a trance, and you stare at that sigil until you feel that connection, right? So I'm telling you this stuff is real, because I remember one time I was starting to read about magic, and I was reading, it was like one of the main books about magic. It was about witchcraft or something, and I was falling away at the time. I was confused, and I was laying in bed, and I could feel a spirit come into the room, and it was dark. It was dark, boy, and it scared me a lot. And right there and then, I called upon the name of Jesus to help me, because I was so scared. Because I knew I screwed up. I knew I screwed up. I needed his help. And I ran to him like I always do. And that's not the only time Jesus has helped me. So don't ever deny the power of Jesus Christ. It truly is powerful. That is just one experience I've had with spirits. But they are real. And I believe God will let you go down those paths sometimes. Because when we go down those paths, sometimes, not all the time. I'm just saying, for some people, they need to learn the hard way. Unfortunately, I'm one of those people. It's just a lot easier if you don't. But when you learn the hard way, you realize how real and how powerful God is. And when you come close to death, you're like, oh, I don't want to do that again. I truly don't. And I don't take my life for granted anymore. But let me tell you, my life is definitely not any easier. Becoming a Christian, it's becoming even more difficult. But we got to focus on the prize. The prize is heaven. The prize is ruling and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. And, you know, we're not just going to be sitting on clouds shooting arrows into the sky or whatever people think. It's God's going to have a lot of stuff for us. One of the things I'm interested in is I want to find out every single thing that Jesus did on the earth. When he was like everything that he did before and after, I want to know. I want to see the whole timeline. That would be so cool to see the whole timeline of Earth play out. That'd be incredible. So let's continue. But yeah, we were talking about the giants. So I'm trying to remember the name. I want to say it's Sanhedrin, but it's not Sanhedrin. It's on the tip of my tongue, the name of this organization that... just look at the chat. Let's see here. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it. So let me just get back on track here. So yeah, they called them the Watchers. And there were 200 of them. And they fornicated with daughters of men. And they created these giants. Now, this is my theory on where demons came from. A lot of people think that fallen angels are demons, but I don't think that's true. What I think is that these giants, okay, there was giants in those days. So these fallen angels, there's 200 of them. They were probably having babies like crazy. Okay, they would create these giants, these mighty men. You know, we hear about that in Genesis 6. And what happens is, you know, when these giants were killed, when they died, they had a spirit, but their spirit doesn't go to hell. It doesn't go to heaven either. It's basically bound to this earth. And now these spirits are just basically wandering around looking for a vessel. So this is where the demons have come from. It makes sense too, because demons, they can affect us in our bodies. We could have physical manifestations of demons. And these fallen angels, I mean, they're the connection to the spirit world. So you have an angel mating with human flesh, creating a mighty man. So there's still a spirit in there. It's a wicked, evil spirit, though. There's no hope of redemption for these giants and these men. That's why God wiped them out of the earth, because their genetics were spoiled. I mean, when Noah and his family were taken off the earth, his genetic bloodline was free and clear. It was pure. It wasn't like the rest of the earth. The rest of the earth was defiled. Even the animals were defiled. So the animals that God led to the ark were the only ones that were pure in their DNA. They were still connected to God. They were still created by God. All the other ones were genetically modified. And we see this same thing happening now in this day and age. Genetically modified food, you know, the things that's been going in people's arms, you know, that's being forced on the population. And let me tell you, that's not going away. That's coming back too. So, I mean, the Lord, he does say, perilous are the days. Perilous are the end times. And they truly are perilous times. We live in perilous, perilous times. I mean, since the eclipse, I have seen a huge uptick in the demonic. A huge uptick in people losing their minds. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing people. First, it's going to be the weak-minded. They're going to lose their minds first. Also, the drug addicted and alcoholics, they're going to lose their minds too, because they're not going to be able to fight against this stuff. These spirits that are being released onto the earth, I mean, I believe God's unlocking some of these out of their cages. I mean, look at the the river Euphrates. Okay, that's been dried up, and now we're seeing tunnels underneath there. There's tunnels down there. You know, where do those tunnels go? I don't know, but there's just all this stuff going. The weather's crazy. We're seeing the rise of Islam. Islam's a very huge threat to the Christian, but we have nothing to fear. I mean, we just need to be very, we need to stand our ground and say, you know, you can go ahead and murder me and kill me. I'm still going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the end of my days. Okay, there's no reason why I wouldn't. And that's what I'm going to do to the day I die. I am going to proclaim Jesus Christ to the day I die. That is my mission on this earth. That is why I was put on this earth. So we should have no fear in doing these things. And if anything, our testimony will save some of their souls, because we don't want any of them to perish either. You know, people that are deceived, they don't realize they're being deceived. But, you know, they think the same thing as us. They say, you know, if you don't believe in Allah, you're an infidel and you must die. And unfortunately, we have a lot of people in this country supporting this, and they have no idea what their culture is truly about. I mean, if you're a man, it's actually not bad, because you get to, you know, they provide you with a wife. You get to have as many kids as you want, but they don't treat the women very well. They beat them. They hurt them. Not all Muslims, but I've met some nice ones. I've met a lot of nice Muslims, actually. So it's just, I want to proclaim the gospel to them, because I know in my heart and in my life that Jesus Christ died for all mankind's sins, not just for mine. He died for all people. And God just wants us to show love to everybody. That's what he wants. He wants us to show love to everybody, but proclaim that Jesus is the true Son of God in human flesh. That's who he is. That's who he was. That's what he did. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. And there is evidence that he did exist. He was witnessed by over 500 people after his death. Okay? Which means he was resurrected on the third day. Okay? The Shroud of Turin, another example of his existence. And this is just one of many. Okay? So you can't tell me Jesus didn't exist. There's just no way. There's no way. There's no way. So the best thing you can do in your life is just proclaim him to the day you die. Yeah, you may be beaten, you may be tortured, you may be hurt, but you will be given a crown of glory. Okay? We are not to go out and hurt people because they don't believe in what we believe. That's not our call. We are to love one another. We are to turn our cheek and give them the other cheek. That doesn't mean we can't defend ourselves. I mean, I will still defend myself to a certain degree. Okay? That doesn't mean I'm just going to take it lying down. I'm not going to do that either. I'm going to be a man of God about it. I'm going to stand my ground in Jesus' name. I'm not going to let people walk all over me, though. I'm going to proclaim the gospel in Jesus' name. Okay, so this is chapter 5, Book of the Words of Righteousness. I'm just going to see how long this is. Okay, it's not too bad. So we'll go into chapter 5 here. One thing before I go. So there's many books on the books of Book of Enoch, and some of them, they're not recommended to read because they're completely out there. Which one is it? I think it's just the first book that is good, and the rest of them is they're defiled. I mean, some of them talk about Metatron and I don't even know what, but the Book of Enoch was found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. So it's a sign that the Essenes who had a 100% accuracy in their prophecies, they were reading the Book of Enoch. So this is chapter 5 called The Book of the Words of Righteousness. The Book of the Words of Righteousness and of the reprimand of the Eternal Watchers in accordance with the command of the Holy Great One in that vision I saw in my sleep. What I will say now say with the tongue of flesh and with the breath of my mouth, which the Great One has given to men to converse therewith and understand with the heart. As he has created and given to man the power of understanding, the word of wisdom, so hath he created me also and given me the power of reprimanding the watchers, the children of heaven. I wrote out your petition, and in my vision it appeared thus, that your petition will not be granted unto you throughout all the days of eternity, and that judgment has been finally passed upon you. Your petition will not be granted unto you, and from henceforth you shall not ascend into heaven unto all eternity. And in bonds of the earth the decree has gone forth to bind you all the days of the world. And previously you shall have seen the destruction of your beloved sons, and ye shall have no pleasure in them, but they shall fall before you by the sword. And your petition on their behalf shall not be granted, nor yet on your own, even though you weep and pray and speak all the words contained in the writing which I have written. And the vision was shown to me thus, behold, in the vision clouds inviting me and a mist summoned me, and the course of the stars and the lightnings sped and hastened me, and the winds in the vision caused me to fly and lifted me upward and bore me into heaven. And I went in till I drew nigh to a wall, which is built of crystals and surrounded by tongues of fire. And it began to affright me. And I went into the tongues of fire and drew nigh to a large house, which is built of crystals. And the walls of the house were like a tessellated floor made of crystals, and its groundwork was of crystal. Its ceiling was like the path of the stars and the lightnings, and between them were fiery cherubim, and their heaven was water. A flaming fire surrounded the walls, and its portals blazed with fire. And I entered into that house, and it was hot as fire and cold as ice. There were no delights of life therein. Fear covered me, and trembling got hold upon me. As I quaked and trembled, I fell upon my face, and I beheld a vision. And lo, there was a second house, greater than the former. And the entire portal stood open before me, and it was built of flames of fire. And in every respect it so excelled in splendor and magnificence and extent that I cannot describe to you its splendor and its extent. And its floor was of fire, and above it were lightnings, and the path of the stars, and its ceiling also was flaming fire. And I looked, and I saw therein a lofty throne. Its appearance was as crystal, and the wheels thereof as the shining sun. And there was the vision of cherubim. And from underneath the throne came streams of flaming fire, so that I could not look thereon. And the great glory sat thereon, and his raiment shone more brightly than the sun, and was whiter than any snow. None of the angels could enter and behold his face by reason of the magnificence and glory, and no flesh could behold him. The flaming fire was round about him, and a great fire stood before him, and none around could draw nigh him. 10,000 times 10,000 were before him, yet he needed no counselor. And the most holy ones who were nigh to him did not leave by night nor depart from him. Until then, I had been prostrate on my face, trembling, and the Lord called me with his own mouth and said to me, "Come hither, Enoch, and hear my word." And one of the holy ones came to me and waked me and made me rise up and approach the door, and I bowed my face downwards. And he answered and said to me, and I heard his voice, "Fear not, Enoch, thou righteous man and scribe of righteousness, approach hither and hear my voice. And go say to the watchers of heaven who have sent thee to intercede for them, you should intercede for men, and not men for you. Wherefore have ye left the high, holy, and eternal heaven, and lain with women, and defiled yourselves with the daughters of men, and taken to yourselves wives, and done like the children of earth, and begotten giants as your sons. And though ye were holy, spiritual, living the eternal life, you have defiled yourselves with the blood of women, and have begotten with the blood of flesh. And as the children of men have lusted after flesh and blood, as those also do die and perish. Therefore have I given them wives also, that they may impregnate them, and beget children by them, that thus nothing might be wanting to them on earth. But ye were formerly spiritual, living the eternal life, and immortal for all generations of the world. And therefore I have not appointed wives for you. For as for the spiritual ones of the heaven, in heaven is their dwelling. And now the giants who are produced from the spirits and flesh shall be called evil spirits upon the earth, and on the earth shall be their dwelling. Evil spirits have proceeded from their bodies, because they are born from men, and from the watchers is their beginning and primal origin. They shall be evil spirits on earth, and evil spirits shall they be called. And the spirits of the giants afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, and work destruction on the earth, and cause trouble. They take no food, but nevertheless hunger and thirst, and cause offenses. And these spirits shall rise up against the children of men, and against the women, because they have proceeded from them. From the days of the slaughter and destruction and death of the giants, from the souls of whose flesh the spirits have gone forth, shall destroy without incurring judgment. Thus shall they destroy until the day of the consummation, the great judgment in which the age shall be consummated, over the watchers and the godless, yea, shall be wholly consummated. And now, as to the watchers who have sent thee to intercede for them, who had been aforetime in heaven, say to them, you have been in heaven, but all the mysteries had not yet been revealed to you. And you knew worthless ones, and these, in the hardness of your hearts, you have made known to the women, and through these mysteries, women and men work much evil on earth. Say to them, therefore, you have no peace. So there you go. That's the giants produced. They were evil spirits, and they are evil spirits. And that's what we find demons today, is they do afflict, oppress, destroy, attack, do battle, work destruction on the earth, and cause trouble. They take no food, but nevertheless hunger and thirst, and cause offenses. This is what we're witnessing on the earth right now. Pretty incredible book. I really, really love this book. So I wanted to read Psalm 34 before I go. There's a connection here. So I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him, and delivered them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and deliver them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemed the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Ah, man. So, how do you praise him in the storm? You just praise him. I challenge you to praise him in the storm. But if you want to be saved, all you got to do is call upon the name of Jesus and you will be saved. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh. He died on the cross. He overcame death and hell. He was resurrected on the third day. He was buried in a tomb. And if you believe in that and you confess that you are a sinner, that you need him, you know, and you are a sinner, nobody is worthy except the Lamb of God. So when you come to that realization that you do need a Savior, you can just call upon the name of Jesus. You just confess all your sins, everything that you've ever committed. Ask him to forgive you. Do it with a pure heart. Do it with pure intentions, and he'll honor that. You go out, you can get yourself fully baptized. Then you will receive the Holy Spirit. And then you can start praying to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's when the fun begins. That's when basically after you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can go out, heal the sick, cast out demons, the whole kit and caboodle, so to speak. So we need to have faith and believe that these things are possible, because they are possible. God is good. He wants good things for your life. If you really need help in your walk, I really highly suggest speaking in tongues. It'll transform your life. I mean, if you can do an hour a day, doing an hour a day, I'm telling you, it builds up your faith. It literally builds up your faith. You will feel it in your body. You will feel it in your mind. You will feel the, like, it charges up your Holy Spirit. It just charges up your spirit. I don't know how to explain it, but it is powerful, man. It is powerful. So go out there, speak in that Holy Ghost language. And when you're speaking in tongues, you are communicating to the Father the perfect prayer that needs to be prayed. You're basically praying your destiny into the world. So with all that, I'm going to end with a song. And yeah, I just thank you for coming tonight, and, you know, may God be with you. Have no fear.
Against me, even then. set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be lifted high above my foes. Then at his tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy.
Strong, take heart.